And welcome, everybody, to Off the Hook Overtime, where we continue the discussion that just aired on WBAI for Off the Hook. And we do it on the internet, on YouTube. And we can take your phone calls, but not right now, not yet, because we still have other things to discuss. First, we're going to make sure everybody made it. Kyle, well, you're in the same room as me, so I'm pretty sure you made it.
Yeah, I feel like I've arrived. I'm coming in clearly, maybe a little dynamic.
Yeah.
I was going to look at that thing that I do, but continue. I was listening to what you're saying.
Okay, good. Yeah, look at our levels, make sure they're okay. Rob and Gila, you made it okay?
We have, yes.
We have. If I can just throw one thing out there, pursuant to my tardiness in the previous hour, urban exploration is cool. If you feel the need to put yourself on the train tracks during rush hour, don't do that. That is why I was late.
Wait, what happened?
Someone was on the subway tracks near our home, so they shut down all the trains running into our part of Queens.
Okay.
So if you feel the need to be on the train tracks, please don't. Call 988 if you need to. But a 40-minute trip home took 2 hours, and also it's raining and snowing. So I'm sorry I was late. Don't get on the train tracks, for the love of God. That's my public service announcement for the day.
And 988, if for those who don't know, is the suicide prevention 3-digit code now, which is an unusual one because there are still phone numbers that begin with 988. So I'm not exactly sure how. I'm not going to call it to test it, but I think you have to pause a little bit after 988, or maybe you have to dial an area code now before any exchange. I would have used one of the other numbers that, you know, like 711. Does anybody know what that's for? Probably not. And it probably would have been more useful to use it that way, but what do I know?
I'm digging.
For digging. How many people are digging cables? I mean, come on. They can have an 800 number or something.
That's 811, isn't it?
See, we don't even know. 811. What's 811? What's 211? Huh? Nobody knows. And we're still checking to make sure people made it. Arseny, you're okay? You made it to Skype
yes.
land? Or to
yes.
YouTube land. And,
hello.
And Lorax, you're joining us as well, right?
Yeah, I'm here for a bit.
Great. During the break, I had a little talk with our friend over at ChatGPT, and I asked a favor. Actually, I lost the window. I asked the bot to write a poem about the no-fly list. And this is rather beautiful, I think. Are you guys ready for some culture here?
Yeah.
Okay. Beneath the skies so blue and wide, a list exists that's not so kind. I have to make it through this. The no-fly list, a name so dire for those whose name it holds, a fire. A name on this list is a curse, a mark of suspicion, a blot that's worse, a label of guilt without a trial, a sentence without a chance to dial. The reasons for being on this list may be secret, known only by a select. Okay, it's kind of clumsy there. No recourse, no way to clear one's name, a Kafka-esque nightmare, a perpetual shame. So if you find yourself on this list, you may feel like you've been missed. By justice and by liberty, but know that you're not alone. You'll see. For there are others on this list who share your plight and your twist. Let's hope one day we'll all be free from the no-fly list and its tyranny. Come on. I think that's better than anything else could come up with in the 30 seconds it took to make that. What, are you applauding with your fingers there? Okay.
He was. I was just going to ask, could you stop asking it to write poems? Because the poems are making my head hurt. They're
bad.
They're very bad.
People have always had this antagonistic view towards poems and poets. And I just think, you know, digital poetry is, it may be our future. I don't know. Any questions that folks had for Lorax or about DDoS seekers before we open things up to phone calls?
For the listeners out there, we have a little chat. So we don't talk over each other. So, like, how do you guys draw the line on what is too much personal information? Because, like, some of this innocent people are getting stuck in these data leaks, and it's like, that site could potentially be kind of furthering, you know, problems for people.
Yeah, I mean, when there's like a large collection of ID scans or like a list of names linked to other personal identifying information, then it makes a data set a candidate for the limited distribution section.
Yeah, like this one. I mean, a lot of information is not being shared. I mean, it was redacted to start with.
Yeah, that's true. Even like this spreadsheet was redacted when it came to us. But this data set is like all personal information. There isn't like a portion of the data set that we would have released that wouldn't have just like personal data in it. So, yeah, this one was pretty obvious that it was on the list for limited distribution. The ones that are tougher are when it's like an email inbox of a public figure and you don't, and like not all of the attachments are able to be text searched. So those are a bit harder to like parse through and find and make sure that there isn't like a list of everybody in the country and their ID number.
Especially if it's like half a terabyte.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of data sets get put in the limited distribution category while they're being reviewed for what's in there. And then if they can be redacted or if there's a portion of the data set that can be released, then it's put in the public access portion. So, something that like I think that happened with was there was a ransomware crew that hacked a law firm in Chicago, I think. And it ended up being like a lot of PII, but then within their, the Jones Day law firm, within the Jones Day like emails, there was a section that was part of the law firm's review of the city of Chicago's use of violence. And so those were like within a data set that might have a lot of PII. There was a portion that we found that could be publicly released because these were like emails produced by politicians in the city of Chicago. That was, I forget like the time, mm-hmm. how long it took to find the portion of the data set that could be publicly released. But yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
So, Lorax, if you're comfortable talking about it, would you mind saying a little bit about what led you to get involved with this kind of work and with DDoS secrets?
Sure. Well, I'm a journalist. I went to journalism school and was reporting on protests and social movements and stuff like from when I was in university and writing like school papers and stuff. And I started covering the police. I think my first job in journalism, I was working for like a website in Toronto and the G20 came to town. And so there was like a huge security like buildup in the city and just like cameras going up everywhere and a lot of like money being poured into the police for this like 3-day event. So I started covering them and I wrote about this like law that they got secretly enacted, which like basically suspended civil liberties in the area around the summit. And I was very interested in this process. And so I started like filing freedom of information requests for data about this decision to suspend civil liberties around the summit. And it took like years before I got anything useful. I made it one of my graduation projects and I never got anything back from Canada because I'm based in Canada. So it just, like, journalists talk a lot about the freedom of information system being broken. And I've found that in my work. And when I started working with leaks, it's so different. Like, you just get like gigabytes or terabytes worth of stuff at one time, and you have to sort through it. And it's so different than working as a journalist and just like clawing and just like working so hard to get like one document back from the government. So yeah, I guess that I came at it from that experience of needing documentation for my stories and not being able to get it any other way than from hacks or leaks.
Fascinating. You know, I imagine there are probably entities out there that try to clog your inbox with all kinds of garbage, to, you know, to slow down the processing of actual leaks that you might be forwarded or information. Is that a problem for you guys?
I mean, I think that there's people who try to submit stuff that's not interesting a lot, but we have a pretty fine-tuned radar for it at this point. And you can usually tell when someone's trying to waste your time versus when they actually have a lot of data. Mm-hmm. People submit stuff that's like not actually hard to find, or it's from like a public website, or they just scraped like some government database. Mm-hmm. So the, like, there's some of that, but like, you can always figure that out pretty quickly. And yeah, there's a lot of like overselling too, like saying I got all of this data from this really interesting entity, but it might not necessarily have anything valuable in it, a large like container of stuff. So
right,
there's some of that. Yeah.
And how are people's identities protected if they do send you something? Do they, when you communicate with them, do you have any kind of sensitive information that you have to make sure doesn't get exposed in any way?
We encourage our sources to stay anonymous and not to tell us who they are, and to communicate with encryption with us so that other people also don't know who they are. Some sources want us to know who they are, like if they're a whistleblower, this can be relevant to the ability that they have to speak to a data set. So there's different kinds of sources, but like in general, our advice is to stay anonymous. We will make no effort to identify our sources, and
And you know, I've noticed many times people have difficulty protecting themselves, and you have to sort of coach them and say, "Don't tell me this, or don't communicate in this way, because you could be tracked, or you could be identified if you don't take certain precautions." And that's always worrisome, especially if somebody is dealing with sensitive information. They might not even know the gravity of it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that like that's one reason why we don't have a secure drop or run a secure drop, because I don't think that we would be confident that we have the infrastructure to maintain this sort of like physical safe box that a secure drop requires. Like, they, you need a lot of investment and staff in order to keep something like that going. Our methods of contact are more temporary. It's a chat account. It's an email address. Mm-hmm. So we always will have an initial contact and then graduate to like more specific methods to transfer data depending on the needs of the source.
And have you ever been pressured to give up information about a source?
Like in a legal filing or something like that? Like, no, it hasn't happened that we have either been held or questioned about a source. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Hopefully yeah. It stays that way, because that's something that journalists everywhere have to deal with, being pressured to give up their sources. And as most journalists are quite firm in saying that we will not do that, But the threats get thrown around quite a bit. We're talking with Lorax from Distributed Denial of Secrets about the recently revealed no-fly list that was sitting around on a server, pretty much unprotected, as is the case with so many things. And we're going to take phone calls in just a minute. I just wanted to ask Lorax one more thing. Are there any particularly memorable revelations that you can speak to, things that people have said, look what I found, whether things you've used or not used?
In the no-fly list specifically?
No, other examples.
Oh, I mean, it's hard to just, like, pick one. I think that from the recent stuff that we've put out, there's a big story in the Financial Times this week.
You guys were mentioned in the Financial Times. I think it was today, but very recently.
Yeah.
Yes, tell us about that.
That was based on one of the Russian leaks, which is publicly available from Capital Legal Services, a law firm that represents, among other clients, the Wagner Group, which is a mercenary army. Bellingcat revealed the owner and operator of the Wagner Group recently, and so there was some information in the Financial Times as well as in Open Democracy about how Wagner and uses these lawyers to do their dirty work, basically. But this is like a data set that we put out many months ago, but is primarily in Russian. And so indexing it, translating it, and putting it in front of researchers has taken months. But it's an interesting story for sure. It's called Wagner Inc., a Russian warlord and his lawyers, in the Financial Times. And yeah. In Open Democracy, I don't have the headline in front of me, but it's not paywalled there. So okay. Definitely look it up.
Yes, because Financial Times was paywalled.
Okay.
One more time before we take phone calls. Can you give out the website and ways people can make contact or make contributions?
Yeah, we are ddosecrets.com, ddosecrets.com. Or .charity is for our donation page. And people can send us data. People can send us requests for limited distribution data if you need some of our reserve data for your research. Get in touch with our email address, press@ddosecrets.com.
Great. And our phone number is 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. If you have been war dialing us for the last half hour, we're not going to pick you up because we know you don't want to talk about what we're talking about. it's just a way that we figure that out. You know, people call when we give the phone number out. If they call before that, they want to talk about something else, which is fine. But right now, we'd like to keep it to the subject that we've been discussing for the past hour and 20 minutes. So 802-321-4225. Is our phone number. If you have any questions for Lorax or any thoughts about the no-fly list it being left lying around on the server, or any other thoughts about security breaches in general, we'd certainly like to hear about that. 802-321-4225. What's our phone status, Kyle? Are we still being war dialed by one number or...
Yes, I think it's settling. Let's put it that way. There's a little bit of a dynamic situation that is sorting itself out.
Sometimes people who do that aren't even listening, and so they don't even hear us say, hey, we're not going to pick up the phone if you're calling us over and over again before we even give the phone number out. It's better radio.
Well, there's that rush of people as soon as you give the number out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, every... handset is picked up and people are frantically dialing.
Phone system overloads sometimes and nobody can get through.
It's a real hassle.
At the radio station, we have 10 lines, so that's easy. We can just go to the next line. Here we have one, so it's a little bit more tricky. So if you have any questions for Lorax or for any of us on the issues we've talked about tonight, please 802-321-4225. Give it a couple minutes to settle in. Arsene, looks like you have something you wanted to say. No, you okay? Look, you look farther there. Rob, you definitely look like something you have something to say. Again, you're muted. Yes. Go ahead.
That's twice I've done that now. I just wanted to mention that if you're in the United States, you can also call us toll-free. If that matters to you, you can call us at 833-755-2600, or you could call us at our regular toll number, 802-321-4225.
Okay, and I understand that call is still coming in, so nobody else can get through as long as that person is war dialing us. Is that right?
Yeah, it's definitely exercising the wires, which I've heard is with older systems, the wires need to be warmed up.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to try a new tack here. Pick up the phone. We'll use reason here. Let's see if that...
I'm not ready.
That's the noise that it makes when you pick up and you're not ready. Do we have somebody?
Yeah, why don't you try now?
Is somebody on the line? Hi, Rebel. Okay, we figured it was you. Can we ask you to call us back in 15 minutes, unless you have a specific question concerning DDoS secrets?
It's Osama. DDoS secrets. I heard on the Off the Hook show, maybe Adolf Hitler's on the no-fly list. Is that possible?
That's the question you're going to ask. Okay, Lorax, I guess maybe if you want to address that.
Yeah, I can handle that.
Go ahead.
No, Adolf Hitler is not on the no-fly list. Jerry Adams from the IRA is on the no-fly list.
Really?
Osama bin Laden.
Wow.
Some fun names from, yeah, other dead people, but there's no Adolf Hitler.
I imagine U.S. citizens would be the most interesting to find out that they were on the no-fly list, particularly members of the government, you know, that fell into disfavor or something like that.
Former officials.
Yeah. Former officials that you might not want leaving.
There are some Nazis on the no-fly list. It was from 2019, not after January 6th, so there's less Nazis than might be on it now.
But after Charlottesville, though.
So like Michael
Yeah,
Flynn.
Charlottesville names are on there. Other white supremacists from Charlottesville, as reported by Emily Gorsensky. Uh-huh. So they found James Alex Fields, the Charlottesville terrorist, Greg Conti, and his neo-Nazi alias, Greg Ritter. Is in the selectee list, which isn't the no-fly, but they are enhanced screening lists.
Uh-huh.
Also, Elliot Robert Klein and his neo-Nazi alias, Eli Mosley, is on the selectee list. So there are some Nazis on the list.
How about Tucker Carlson? You find that name?
No. I don't know.
Probably not at this stage, but at some point. Rebel, any further questions? Oh, he's gone? Okay. Wow. 802-321-4225. We have another phone call, Kyle? You're making all kinds of hand gestures. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, why don't you try now?
Okay, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to ask, you're talking about the no-fly list.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just had a quick question. Is this no-fly list, is it a secret? I mean, can you just go online and see if your name is on this list?
No. Lorax, you want to speak to that?
No, you can't. It's also not a top secret document or anything that's classified because the government hands it out to so many airlines that they can't classify it. So it's not like a top secret document or anything like that, but it's also not a very open data set that has leaked before.
What would be the point of not just making it public? You know if you're on there or not, you don't even bother trying to get on a plane. Like, why would they just put it out there?
Because there's a lot of possible negative consequences for people whose names are on the list through no fault of their own, people who are underage, people who are dead.
I imagine that you wouldn't want to tell somebody who is, you know, a criminal mastermind that they're on the no-fly list. Or, you know, is this ever used for actually capturing somebody who's wanted?
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine a lot of people know that they're on the no-fly list already and don't fly.
But if you have an alias and that alias is on the list, then you know that you can't use that one anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point. Caller, any other questions?
No, I was just going to say, because I'm pretty sure, like, I was just wondering, because I'm sure there's, like, regular people, not, like, the Adolf Hitler type. I'm talking just regular folks whose name are just on there by mistake, who I'm pretty sure would be curious to see if their name is on there. So, you know, it would be nice if they just published a list. I'm sure there's, like, mistakes, people whose names got on there by mistake or whatever. I don't know. It would have been nice if it was public.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, thank you. Have a great show.
Thanks for your call. I imagine, Lorex, that's something that you're constantly weighing over at DDoS Secrets, the public benefit for this knowledge getting out and the benefit for keeping certain things, you know, private as they've been.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who've written in to be like, am I on the list? Is my relative on the list? I just want to look up one name.
Uh-huh.
And we haven't come up with a way to, like, do that in a privacy-preserving way. If anybody has, like, an idea of how to permit those sorts of, like, lookups, then get in touch with us. But I think that there's a lot of potential for abuse for that sort of function of just, like, false positives, looking up a name and then being like, oh, this person's on the no-fly list, so I'm going to add them to my own list of whatever, like people in Brazil who the Brazilian Secret Service wanted to put on their lists. They just wanted to, like, cheat from the U.S. list and hurry up their own creation of something like this. So I don't think that that's the direction that we want to see things go in either.
Is this the kind of information that any employee at an airline would be able to get access to?
I think so. But I don't know. I've not worked in aviation.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think that probably many employees at an airline who are doing bookings or those sorts of things would be able to access a version of this list.
Would somebody taking a booking on the phone say, oh, excuse me, sir, you're on the no-fly list, so we can't continue with this? Would they actually be that courteous to tell you that? Or would they just let you go to the airport?
I don't think that they'd tell you if you're on a list. I think they would just, like, refuse your booking or... Yeah, I don't know how it would work.
Learning more. We're learning more by the day. We have another phone call? Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes. The way you could get around the no-fly list is I put my real name because you got a show ID, but I put a fake birth, like they ask you to put your birth date. I just put a different birth date. They don't check your birth date. All they do is check that your name is on the ticket, your name is on your ID, and that's it. That your birth date is not on your ticket.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, if you're flying internationally, have you ever tried that internationally?
Not internationally. But,
okay, I suggest if you try that internationally, you might get a different response than if you try it domestically, because they do tend, I mean, they're going to match it against your passport, obviously.
International. Oh, I think they don't have a no-fly list for domestic, for international.
No, I think Laura, you could clear this up. Is the no-fly list for domestic flights as well as international?
Yeah, I mean, I also don't know the answer to that question. I know that this list has a lot of non-U.S. citizens on it. It's probably mostly non-U.S. citizens, but I don't know. I mean, Commute Air is also a domestic airline. I don't think that they fly internationally. So the jurisdiction of the airline that this leak comes from was a domestic U.S. jurisdiction.
I mean, if I was an airline, which is a sentence I don't say very often, but if I was, I probably wouldn't want somebody flying locally who's on an international do not fly list. I just think that it could be awkward. Rebel, and any last question from you, since we're going to open up the phone lines.
Why would you have a toll-free number? People don't really need toll-free numbers anymore.
Because one of our listeners asked for it, and we were being nice, and now you're saying we don't need it. So I don't know. Maybe there are people who don't have access to a regular phone line, or I know there's no payphones anymore, so it's hard to use just a payphone to call without putting a coin in. But there could be a situation. I'm sure there's somebody out there who will call the toll-free number and tell us why.
Yeah, but then you're paying for the call.
Actually, we're not. Whoever donated the line is. Isn't that right, Rob?
Yeah, our friend of the show, Lucky225, set that up for us, and we're very grateful to him. And whatever it costs, we're not responsible for it. It was a nice donation.
Well, hopefully we don't get a big fat bill in a few months. You know, that would... That wouldn't be nice, but
okay,
but yes,
so
thanks for that.
I'll call back in 15 minutes with my with
what I. Oh no, this Rebel, this counts. You've made two phone calls so far. So
all right, so I'll hold and get my list. I'm back in New York.
A list? What do you mean a list?
Yeah, my list of things to tell you.
A list of things to tell. Oh my God, this is what we have to deal with.
Well, I'm back in New York.
You're back in New York. Okay.
Call area code 518-502. I'll just stem. So I'm not going to do the calling because I know you have people on. 518-502.
What are you giving us? What are you giving us a phone number? And it's the Albany area, I can tell that. But why are you giving us a phone number?
Well, because it says it's like it reminds me of AI. It just says hello. What do you want? Shall I maybe call?
But you could be calling a person who happens to talk that way. And I don't want to call somebody at 8:30 on a Wednesday night and antagonize them, especially if they sound like a robot.
Remember where we talked about last week about 202-456-1111?
We talked about calling the White House, and I said 1414 was the extension that I usually would call when I was calling the White House. Yes.
1111 is the White House because
it's all the White House. 456 exchange is all the White House, but I was saying the president's office, which you shouldn't call.
The comment line. But 456-1111 is the White House because after it says, please dial whatever it wants to dial, the two digits, it says, thank you for calling the White House.
Yeah, I know, but again, the whole 456 exchange is the White House. So, yeah.
What, the White House has 10,000 phone numbers?
No, they don't have 10,000 phone numbers, but they have the whole exchange. When you call a 202-456 number that says, we are not the White House, let me know. That's a number I'm interested in.
What about 9901?
Okay. Well, what else, Rebel? We do have to move on.
Okay, so the 518 number, it says, what do you want? Well, something like that. Like, I don't know, I forgot what it says.
How did you find this number?
Well, because I get calls from these numbers, these 516 numbers and these, you know, numbers in, like, Illinois and Michigan and all. And it's, you know, would you like Medicare and all things like that? Like, we have a special offer for you from Marriott or whatever. And you know, when you call it, it's a different thing.
Mm-hmm. That's because they're not calling you from that number. You're calling somebody who did not call you. So you're actually the person making the call now to somebody and annoying them because their number was just used as a forgery on your caller ID.
Right.
So you shouldn't call them because you're not calling the people who called you.
That's what else?
I don't think that landed.
Oh, let's see. 703-818.
Again, you know, these numbers have not been vetted. I prefer not giving out phone numbers unless, you know.
Well, it's a wrong number. And when
it's a wrong number. Every number you call is a wrong number if they're not expecting your call.
No, they get numbers. Instead of going doo-doo-doo, that number you have each, 8185, you know, like they give you a recording, and it's no intercept recordings. It's now. Oh, we're sorry. You dialed the number that is not available, but I can help you find a number in your area, a business or whatever. Like when a business disconnects their phone number, they now, instead of having the recording saying this number's been disconnected or whatever, it says, you know, there's this ad saying, I can help you find another business in the area.
That's a little creepy.
That, you know, that I could demonstrate. That I could call because it's, you know, business. Would you want to hold?
Okay, let's do this, but then we want to open the phone lines to other people.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Oh, that's right. He puts us on hold. We have to wait for him to... Oh, wait.
Emmanuel, hold on. Hold on, Emmanuel.
Yeah, I'm happy to hold, Rebel. Thank you for this. How long are we going to wait? I say 30 seconds.
Give the phone number.
Here he is.
Although your phone call cannot be completed, we can help you.
Wait, you're just repeating what you said. Can we hear it?
Well, I for some reason, when I try and get a call, it doesn't work. But anyway.
You don't know how to make a three-way call, do you?
I do know how to make a three-way call. I've made a three-way call.
Then make a three-way call right now. Go ahead, do it.
Hold on. Let's try it again.
Uh-huh.
Get a call.
I think what's happening... I think he can only connect.
You're on hold. Hold on. I'm gonna ask.
Stop saying you're going to put us on hold. We know you're going to put us on hold. So I think what happens is he can't three-way until it actually picks up. But when it picks up, it's past the point that he's trying to demonstrate.
So this is never going
it's
to
never
be
gonna
accomplished.
Work. It's yeah. never going to work. Yeah, that's what I think is happening. It's called, it used to be called supervision. Like somebody would have to pick up.
It's fun and exciting.
Well, I'm glad someone thinks so. Only a few more seconds, folks, and then we'll move on. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Rebel, that is amazing. Wow, where'd you find that? Rebel, are you there? You just turned into a busy signal. Okay.
It's cutting edge right here.
Gil, it looks like you have something to contribute to this fascinating discourse.
Actually, something to contribute to this fiasco.
Oh, wow, all kinds of noises now. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Wow. Because when Rebel began giving out an Albany area code, my first instinct was, I don't know about y'all, but I looked at the website for Commute Air, and they have a facility in Albany. So I thought he was giving us that number, and it wasn't that number.
No, it was some poor robot-sounding person.
No, I'm well aware of that. But when he said 518, I was like, ooh, maybe he's giving us the Commute Air number. No, but... It's interesting to me that in addition to all of the safety implications and privacy implications and all those things, my other question is, are there going to be repercussions for Commute Air coming out of this?
Well, you know, if you leave something like the no-fly list lying around on a server and somebody finds it and it becomes a big public scandal as a result of that, I would imagine there would be some fallout.
And I would like to think so.
Uh-huh.
And given the fact that a couple weeks, when was it? The end of December when Southwest Airlines completely melted down. And people were saying that part of it was because they don't have the same kind of hub and spoke, smaller carrier network that a lot of the other large airlines do. Commute Air is a local carrier for United. And they have hubs in Houston, Denver, and one other place that I'm forgetting right now. So if that subsidiary were not allowed to continue to operate as part of the United network, what kind of repercussions would that have nationwide? That was where my mind went, which I suppose proves I'm just not really a privacy researcher.
Yeah. All right, folks, a situation.
They'd probably get fined, though. It wouldn't be like you're out of business.
True, but could I mean, would United end the relationship? Would they
and actually, so actually, you know, coming from Russia, where relationships suddenly get cut very quickly, that could actually, so it could be that these guys get fined and United wants to cut any risk associated with this kind of data leak, you know, if it's that bad. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think the FAA thinks it's that bad.
All right, folks, situation right now at the phone is Rebel is just calling us nonstop. So listen, let's just finish the conversation. Hopefully we can open up the phone lines to somebody else and somebody else can dial quicker. 802-321-4225. Kyle, let's pick up and end this. Go ahead. Kyle, you there? Okay. Nobody's there. No, who's calling then? There's a dial tone.
You just got in between calls, I think.
Oh, great. Okay. So I've kind of invited him to call now.
Yeah, you really want to talk to him?
Is he there?
Yeah,
I just want to clear the phone line. Hey, Rebel, is that you?
Oh, yes. What happened?
Okay, it doesn't matter what happened. It didn't work. We're going to give you one more minute to finish whatever it is you need to say, but we need to open up the phone lines for other people. So please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, what happened was it didn't work because the supervision doesn't kick in. It just, it's like a recording that says, you know, that the recordings that say the phone system is and when supervision doesn't kick in.
We're aware of this.
Okay. Well, that's probably why that's got. So, let's see. Let's see what else.
You're down to your last 30 seconds there.
Oh, yeah, about the airline thing. Yeah, Southwest Airlines, because they don't have an updated computer system. I'm glad I went to where I saw my vacation in January and not December. But I missed by one day. Remember when I was in Arizona? I came to California the day before they shut down the whole entire airspace nationwide from 9 o'clock in the morning to like 5.
Yeah, they did have a massive computer problem. We didn't mention that actually on the show when that happened, but yeah, that was a big deal.
I missed that.
Data leak had nothing to do with that, by the way.
No, this data leak had absolutely nothing to do with that. Although, yeah. You know, if you can't access anything, you can't access a no-fly list either, I would imagine, so it would be a big problem.
Yeah.
Okay, Rebel, finish up.
All right, so I missed that by one day. I was flying out at like something like 1 o'clock in the afternoon mountain time, so I would not have been able to, had I been there a day later, I would have been stuck until like maybe 7 o'clock, or maybe the next day, because the thing lasted the whole day, and then there was like delays afterwards or something.
We all really dodged a bullet there.
Right, so let's see, what else? I guess, let's see, so that's that.
You know, at this point, saying our farewells until next time would be in order.
Yeah, I guess until next week. More things to say.
Yeah, but thank you for calling and updating us, and we'll figure out.
By the way, you know, I don't hear the phone when when somebody's calling in. That last caller that called in, I didn't hear him. You know, you're not hearing me, I don't think. Let me just.
We hear you. We definitely are hearing you. And the world is hearing you. Listen, Rebel, we have to open up the phone lines because we have a limited amount of time here. So I'm not sure I'm being heard.
Okay,
Rebel, so we'll talk to you again soon. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. And now this is the opportunity for anybody else in the world to give us a call. Just please pick up the phone line. And you have to dial 1 first, obviously, in most parts of the country, 802-321-4225, or country code 1 if you're outside the country. We'd certainly like to hear from people in other parts of the world, as we've heard from many, many times. Asia, Europe, South America, anywhere, please, 802-321-4225. Any other thoughts about these data leaks or no-fly list or airlines or anything in particular? Rob?
I checked the caller volume is pretty low on YouTube.
I don't know what else we can do about this. If we raise it anymore, it feeds back. It's a YouTube issue. I'm not sure what causes it. But we have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. A few years ago, I discovered this very cool website. It had links to the live broadcast feeds for MSNBC, CNN, and several other cable channels.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, a few days ago, I saw that it went offline. And I wanted to know, would you guys know of any good message board or discussion forum that I could post a question to see if there are any other similar websites like that out there that I could go to?
What was the old website called?
It was called. It was https://watchnewslive.tv, and it had been around for several years, and it was great because you didn't need to install any software on your computer. You just clicked on the link that was marked with the channel, like MSNBC, CNN. Or PBS, and it would take you right to their feed on your computer. And like I said, the site is gone, and I'd love to find another site like that. And if you guys know of any, or like I said, if you know of any message boards or discussion forums where there'd be people that would know that kind of information.
Okay, looks like Rob might have some information. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I don't have information about this particular site, but I can say, first of all, for like legal and legit ways to watch such things, you can usually go separately to like the CNN website or the MSNBC website if you're a cable subscriber, and there are ways to put your cable subscription info in there and watch those channels legitimately. I think what you found was probably, and I'm not familiar with this site, so I may be wrong, but what you had was probably a not so up and up way of watching these. And if you're
right.
looking for something
like
that,
a red box kind of thing, sort of.
Yeah, kinda, but yeah. But I think if you're looking for like the community where people talk about those kind of things, just go to search engines and put in the name of the old site, and you might find other areas in which people are talking about that old site and possibly talking about newer sites. If what you're looking for is like message boards and things.
Right. Yeah, but also to latch on to what Rob said, if you put in the information if you happen to be a cable subscriber, or if you happen to know somebody who is a cable subscriber who will give you their information, because it doesn't cost them anything to do that, and then that gives you access to to feeds without actually having to be a customer yourself.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not a cable customer right now. I have some cash flow issues, and my subscription only covers my internet connection. It doesn't give me access to getting cable channels.
Yeah, and TV used to be completely free. In fact, it still is. I'm not a big fan of the digital TV system, but you can put an antenna, outside and pick up some channels and sub-channels. And sometimes the sub-channels are actually different cable networks. Not often, but it does happen. And you might find some channels that nobody else can see as well.
Yeah, okay. This is a very good time to start investigating things like some more sources for news. You can look at some nonprofit things like WBAI or similar community resources that you might have where you live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, I appreciate your input, and I'll try and pursue those other options.
All right. Let us know how you do, and good luck.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Take care. Okay, let's just keep it open for maybe one more phone call, and hopefully somebody wants to talk about the data leaks or security in general or anything else. And any other thoughts from you folks out there in Skype land?
I forgot to plug that we also published this week just like a simplified data server. It's data.datasecrets.com.
Okay.
And it's like a list of our public data sets. There's more than 17 terabytes of public data there for easy download.
Oh,
torrents
wow.
are still like the best way to get our stuff. But this data.datasecrets.com is back. So that's nice.
Oh, that's great. That really is helpful. And as you said, if people can run torrents for you, that is extremely helpful as well. All right. Well, I can't thank you enough for what you do, for what the organization does. Without something like DDoS secrets around, we would never hear about many of these things, or they would wind up in the wrong hands, being treated irresponsibly. And then that comes down on all of us, because then the hacker community is seen as the problem and as a real threat. In this particular case, I see people acting responsibly and also exposing the tremendous security vulnerabilities that exist out there. And to think of these researchers that are just out there looking for these things, it makes me feel secure, knowing that there are people on the lookout for blatant security violations and holes that you could drive a bus through. It's the kind of thing that they tell you doesn't exist, but it does. It always does. And, we've been dealing with these kinds of things for decades.
Yeah, I think that without DDoS secrets, things would sort of like come and go and disappear and become harder to find. I think that the benefit that we bring is that people can be like, oh, remember that breach from a couple years ago? I wonder what that data can teach me about the current state of the world. So we are a good place for like continuity, so that hacks don't just come and go and not get archived anywhere.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to give it one more minute if anybody wants to give us a call. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our phone number. If you have any thoughts or questions or opinions, please feel free to give us a call. And, of course, you can also email us, oth@2600.com. And in case you didn't catch it at the end of the show, we do have 2600 meetings a week from this Friday because we are not on next week. But the meetings take place the first Friday of every month, and they take place all around the world. And there's one here in New York City, which I imagine, Rob, you have something to say about it?
Yeah, the one in New York City will be happening on February 3rd and at the Citigroup building on 53rd in Lexington. And also after this particular meeting, a bunch of us are going out to a sort of informal memorial gathering, remembering our friend Jim. Past contributor to this program and regular in the New York City 2600 scene since time immemorial. So if you come to our next 2600 meeting, just keep an eye up, and a bunch of us will be going on to do that afterward.
Yeah, memories of Jim, that will be quite an event, absolutely. And again, you can check out where meetings are taking place around the world, 2600.com/meetings. And we're calling it, right, Kyle? We're calling it? No more calls? Okay, we're done for the night. Lorax, I can't thank you enough for spending time with us and informing everyone about what you folks are up to over there and throughout the internet, throughout the planet. It's good to know people like you are there, and data is being dealt with maturely and responsibly.
Well, thanks for also the work that you do. And thanks for inviting us on.
Okay. That's it for us, folks, tonight. And we'll see you again in another 2 weeks. Good night, everyone.